Not because attendance is low, but rather because the second Sunday of Easter tends to not be quite so elaborate with all of the music and all of those sorts of things happening. So next time you're on Jeopardy, you'll know the answer to that one. Our service is printed. We follow that this morning. In addition to those that are printed in the grace notes for whom we pray, we also remember in our prayers today Tammy, daughter-in-law of a friend of Terry Nailway, who's battling cancer. Also, we remember Garrett healing for his shoulder as he continues to be on the mend from that as well. The rest of it is there. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other things, other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. And indeed, alleluia. Thomas Didymus, the twin, we usually call him Doubting Thomas. He's the one who missed church on Easter. He wasn't there in the upper room that first Easter evening when our Lord Jesus appeared to his fearful band of disciples cowering behind locked doors. Jesus appeared among them without so much as a knock on the door and says, "Peace be with you." And after they collected their wits, he showed them his hands and his side, still bearing the wounds of the cross. And again, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." The peace that Jesus spoke is the peace that the world cannot give. And his words are almost exactly what is said with raised host and cup after the words of institution, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus establishes his apostolic ministry, sending them with authority. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. His breath, his words, his spirit, his forgiveness, his peace. The sins they forgive are forgiven. What they retain is retained. As certain on earth as though Christ himself were speaking, is the way the Small Catechism puts it. And he is speaking. That's the nature of his apostolic ministry. He who hears you hears me. Our Lord Jesus guarantees that his voice is heard in his church until he reappears again in glory on the last day. This wasn't just the sending of a few. This is the creation of an office. The office of the holy ministry. Judas's vacancy would be filled by Matthias. Jesus would add St. Paul as a lucky number 13. And they, in turn, would ordain others. But this first cohort is unique. They had seen the risen Lord with their own eyes. They had seen the piercings of the nails, the spear wound in the side. There's no question about what they're seeing. They felt his breath. They heard his words. So wouldn't you have loved to be among them in that upper room? To see what they saw, to hear what they heard. Oh, how much easier it would be to believe. Or so we imagine. Thomas Didymus, the twin, he wasn't with them that first Easter evening when Jesus appeared. We don't know why, but whatever the reason, Thomas was not there to see and to hear. So the others caught up with him sometime during the week. "We have seen the Lord," they said. But like others on Easter morning, Thomas knew by his own experience, dead men don't rise. And like the others, he doesn't believe the news. He's skeptical. He wants proof. He wants hard evidence that Jesus truly is risen from the dead, that it's the same Jesus, that it's not some imposter. He wants to see the wounds. He wants to touch them. "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Thomas is, he's no ignorant, gullible hick who's going to believe every rumor that comes along. He's heard the news from his trusted friends, from his fellow disciples. He had been there when Jesus predicted his own death and resurrection. He'd heard it all with his own ears. But still, he doesn't believe. And he refused to believe it until he personally saw and personally touched the risen Lord. And so 8 days later, they again are in the upper room. 8 days. Ever notice how Jesus seems to keep popping up on Sundays in John's gospel? Because he's present with his gathered church. His body, his blood, the wounds of his sacrifice, his peace and his forgiveness and his spirit and his breath, all of it here for you. And it's the foundation of all of Christian worship and liturgy. Thomas is with him this time. He missed out on everything the Sunday before. See what happens when you miss church? But this time, Thomas is there, doubts and all. And that tells you something. Bring your doubts to Jesus. Because there will always be doubts in your minds. Because we are dealing with things unseen, things that you cannot measure scientifically. So there will always be doubts. Sometimes little bitty nagging ones, sometimes big ones. All the great ones of faith had their doubts. Abraham and Sarah laughed at the promise of God that they would have children in their old age. until God had the last laugh. Zechariah didn't believe the news of the angel that he and Elizabeth would conceive in their old age and bear a son named John. Mary wondered how it could possibly be that she would conceive and bear a son, since she was a virgin. You have doubts too. I'm sure of that, because I have them. 29 years ago, as a sophomore in college, when I decided it was time to go into the holy ministry, I thought that intensive study, that working with the Word would alleviate those doubts, that inner skepticism, that desire for proof and for hard evidence. I learned more of the Word and more of church history and all kinds of doctrine, but it just raised more questions. Sometimes it raised doubts. And then there are the doubts that are caused by things not going as I think they should. The seeming weakness of God's Word, the weakness of Christ's church. But what you learn from Thomas this morning is to bring all of your doubts to church, to the altar, to the pulpit, to the words and the wounds of Jesus. And Jesus will meet you, doubts and all. So there is Jesus again, standing in the middle of them, in the locked room, and again his peace. And Jesus speaks to Thomas just as though he had heard him a week ago, because he had. Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand. Place it into my side. This is an actual, real body we're talking about here. This is not a ghost. This is not a spirit. This is not an apparition. Behold the man, flesh and bone. He's touchable. And the wounds are the clincher. The wounds of his sacrifice are still visible in the resurrection. Jesus is eternally the crucified one. What does that mean? By his wounds we are healed, Isaiah says. Those are the wounds that mark him as the lamb who was slain. And curiously, though he's risen from the dead, the wounds remain as battle scars, marks of his victory. Even seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, Jesus bears the scars of his sacrifice as an eternal reminder of your forgiveness. When Jesus intercedes for you, when he mediates for you, he does it on the basis of his sacrifice. So the sacrifice of Jesus is never simply a memory of a past event. It is always visibly and tangibly and concretely presented. His eternally wounded hands and feet and side, the body and the blood in the supper. They're one and the same thing. So with Jesus' wounds also come his words. Faith creating, faith enlivening, faith sustaining words. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas does. He confesses what he believes. My Lord and my God. And then Jesus speaks a blessing. Not on Thomas, but on you and on me. We who have not seen and yet believe are blessed by God. Blessed are those, Jesus says, who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are you on this second Sunday of Easter that you believe that Christ has risen from the dead and that his death and his life are yours. God hasn't left you without evidence. No, you may not see Jesus' hands and his feet and his side, but you have the sworn deposition of an eyewitness. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's where you go with all of your doubts, to the Word, to the supper. you would do well this Easter season to reread the Gospel of John, because it's written for believers that they might continue to believe, reminding you again and again of what Jesus said and Jesus did for you. Because you, like St. Thomas, are prone to doubt. You live in a scientific and skeptical age. You know that dead men don't rise. And yet, over against your doubts, God the Father sets His Word. The historic record of eyewitnesses to the resurrection, the sworn testimony of those who have seen and heard and touched. You, of all people, are blessed. No, you don't see, but you hear, and you take and eat, and you take and drink. And you are as much in the presence of the risen Jesus as St. Thomas and the rest of the disciples in that locked room. Blessed are you, baptized believer, for you have not seen, and yet by God's gift and by God's grace, you believe. And believing, you have life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.